so much for joining us.
I'm thrilled to be here.
So I know you as one of the four voices of the Fanish podcast, but I think that will be a new introduction to a lot of Pod on the Suit listeners. So would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name's Alex Jamison. I am a voice actor and in the Stucky fandom, sometimes in Winter Shield and sometimes in Winter Widow, but MCU Marvel fandom. And I am one of four co-hosts on a podcast called Fanish.
And how did you get into fandom then?
A long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away?
Unfortunately not. That would have been a better fandom to cop to. I was in the Twilight fandom.
Listen, we all come here in our own paths.
I wrote, and I actually started podficking back then, and I did not know that it was called. As far as I remember, my co-host Cleo, who's Cleo for you two, remembers it being called podficking, but I did not. But anyway, I started back then. I had some friends that were BNAs and did a couple of things that way. And but mostly wrote. Oh no, wait! I was also on a podcast back then. I forgot about that. Whoops. So writing, podficking, and a podcast way back in the ancient times of the Twilight fandom.
Ancient, like 10 years ago is ancient times, though.
It is ancient times. You know, fandom, it's all relative in fandom.
Because Sherlock Holmes is the first published work that had fan fiction, as yeah. we know it, back in the 1800s.
Right. Yeah.
But thinking about, like, okay, we've been doing this forever, but also it moves so fast.
Yeah, it's kind of incredible, that dichotomy. And it's endlessly interesting where people started and where they are now. I'll never not want to talk about that.
Well, good, because my question is, how did we go from Belle and Edward to Steve and Bucky? Because that's a bit of a jump.
It is a bit of a jump. I actually never liked Bella and Edward. I got into that fandom because I wanted an online writing community.
Okay.
I had little kids, and I wanted desperately to get into a com that I could get some feedback and feel like I was writing stuff and going in the direction I wanted to, and I'm glad I did. I never ended up liking Bella and Edward.
And, okay.
But it was
did
a lot of
like
fun.
Did you like anyone?
I shipped Carlisle and Emmett, so like okay. It was a total rare pair, which, you know, maybe anyone would appreciate. I don't know. But yeah, so I liked writing them. I got, you know, and the funny thing is that I wrote Bella and Edward, but I have no excuse. I guess that's the bottom line.
I just find it fascinating. Like, I can't write people I don't like. And so I'm just fascinated by this, that you could do it as a discipline in a way. I find that really interesting. That's all.
Yeah, I guess I just always thought about who I really wanted. I mean, my end goal was I wanted to be published someday.
Right.
And so I thought, well, I'm going to write, if I can write all, you know, a range of characters and make people interested, then that'll be a good test. And what's really funny is after I left that fandom, I worked on a novel for a while. It's my drawer novel that I wrote about 28,000 words of. And I ended up quitting it because I hated them so much.
The irony is not lost on any of us.
Oh, my God. The hero and the heroine just, like, I hated their guts. They were so boring. And I was like, why am I writing this? I was writing it, you know, I was kind of copycatting it. I was trying to write, you know, straight up fluffy romance genre, which it's not my bag. I don't like reading it. Why was I trying to write it?
That's a great question. But that's even a good point for all of us who are not necessarily trying to be published, but are creating or reading. Like, why do you create things that don't bring you joy?
What is that impetus? And looking back on it, it was because I wanted to be published. And I thought, well, I think a lot of people think this. If I do this, I mean, I'm capable. I know that I can write. Of course I can do this. I'm just going to knock out a romance novel and I'm going to sell it. Well, of course, it's not.
You were introduced to the romance publishing industry, which is
I didn't even get that far.
Circles of hell, and we'll cover that later. But yeah, like it's a lot. Character development is a challenge. It just is. So.
Well, in the little parts that I liked that I wrote, were not serving this book that I was trying to force them into. I was trying to shove all of this stuff together that I liked, but also make it palatable for people that wanted chirpy writing. They wanted, it's so trite. Like the girl would get up in the morning and dance around in the sun and make finger guns at a calendar. It was terrible. It was terrible.
It's interesting though, we're going to move on from that. But in thinking about writing for certain things, like that's one of, I can see why you really enjoy the freedom of fandom then, because the beauty of tags and tropes and things is like, this is what I love. If somebody else loves it, they'll find it.
Great. Yeah.
And that's a really different ball game than monetized storytelling.
Yeah. And I used to have the attitude that if you were a good writer and you did well in fandom, that of course you were going to try to be published. And a long time ago in that old fandom, I had a friend, and she was not interested in being published at all. She loved fandom, and she loved writing fanfic. Utterly, completely. And had no desire to go any further than that. And that is completely valid. Not actually, that's ridiculous. It sounds ridiculous. It's not just valid. You should celebrate that. Knowing yourself and knowing what you want is a great thing.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Because she got the most joy out of it. It was a hobby for her. She loved it. She didn't have to answer to anybody. She didn't have to make any deadlines. She didn't have to deal with things that made her uncomfortable. She wrote for herself and for her audience to a certain extent. But it was limited in a way, and it was always joyous, always.
Yeah, and if there is a gift that I could give, I mean, I've been in fandoms of various kinds since I was in middle school. If I could go back and give younger Flame like a gift, it would be, don't do this if it's not bringing you joy. Like, you get to walk away from fandoms that don't bring you joy. You don't have, this is supposed to be fun, and it's okay.
Yeah, don't we have enough things in life that do not bring us joy that we must do? There is no out. You have to do it. You have to get up. You have to go to work. You have to clean the toilet. You have to pick up the dog shit.
Yeah.
You have to. So when you're choosing to do something, yeah, it should just be joyous.
Completely.
Seriously. It should just be joyous.
So obviously, talking gives you joy. So you were on a podcast forever and podficking and things. As you kind of like left that drawer novel, I'm going to assume, and you joined us in mm-hmm. Marvel, did mm-hmm. you start with podficking? How did that kind of work?
Yeah, I guess I kind of just lurked around and read for a while, and then I decided maybe I can get back into this. And in the meantime, I continued to do voice acting, and there was for a long time I did recorded audiobooks, produced audiobooks. And then I just took a break. So I lurked in fandom for a while, and then I decided maybe I can do podficking again. And I chose a really short G-rated fic and reached out to the author and asked them what they thought, and they gave me permission, and I was kind of just took off from there. And it certainly has nothing to do with kudos or hits or comments, because I didn't get any for a very long time and still don't get very many. But it brings me a lot of joy to do it. It's a way for me to honor the author and the material that they've written, and to be part, it's my way of giving back to fandom and everything that it's given me.
That's beautiful. So how do you choose the works that you podfic now?
I have to love them, and then I start to hear it as I'm reading it.
Okay.
That's the first thing for me. And then oftentimes I will read something and really enjoy it, but once I, if I think I'm interested enough in it to want to do it. Oh, and also, I'm a total ball sack. I don't do long fic. I don't want to listen to myself. I don't want to edit it. I don't want to put it together. So, like, you know, on the outside, the highest number of a fic that I'll record is somewhere around, I don't know, 6K maybe, something like that. It's ridiculously small. So I'll decide, like, I really like it. I want to do it. But oftentimes I will start to read it and it doesn't work well, for me anyway, read aloud. There's something about the style of writing that doesn't work. It just, you know, I don't know how exactly to explain it, but it just doesn't mesh with me and my style and my delivery. And so sometimes I really love things, but I don't record them because it just isn't going to work. And then sometimes if I really love a fic, I won't record it, even though it would be a lot of fun to do it, because I won't be able to, I can't read things again once I've recorded them.
Oh, okay.
And so selfishly, I don't want to give that up.
That's understandable.
I want to have it in my bookmarks and my favorites and go back and read it over and over again whenever I feel like it. And it's just, I rob myself of that when I record it.
that's fair. I mean, fandom's about joy. So why would you steal yours just for ours? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So how long does the 6K, like, I don't know a lot about sound production. Listeners will know that Ferret does all of our magic tech stuff. So how long does it take you to do this kind of process?
Well, you know, I'm sure Ferret is way better at this than I am. Although we use the same DAW, we both use Reaper, and I'm pretty good at Reaper, but I'm not overly great at controlling my breath work.
Okay.
And I'm a stickler for that. So I will leave some breaths in, but some breaths, I get annoyed and I want to take them out. So I can't really give you, you know, it's 1,000K, it takes me 10 minutes to record, and then it takes me this long to edit. I can't really, and plus I have ADD, so I kind of start doing it. Then I drop it.
Yeah, and it's not like you don't have other life things going on. Yeah, I was just curious if you had a formula, that's all.
No, I don't have a formula. I don't, and because I don't have a deadline with most things, unless I'm doing it for someone's birthday, which I have done on occasion, or something special. But otherwise, I don't have a deadline, and I also oftentimes will work, commission an artist to do a cover, and so that's factoring in too, because they give me the cover art, and then I add the credits to it and mess around with that. I don't know. It's a long, way longer process than it would be. It's not linear, I guess. I'm sure Ferret does things in a very linear way, which is exactly what I do on Fanish. So when I edit Fanish, we record for some time around an hour. It probably takes me 3-4 hours to edit and get done and dusted. So maybe that's a better example for you.
Oh, well, I mean, I was just curious about the creative process. So.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Don't apologize.
Sorry.
It's your truth.
I went off on a tangent.
Listen, tangents are welcome and wanted here, but I am curious if there is, I think if I'm scrolling through your AO3, right, you've only recorded Steve and Bucky. Is that correct?
No.
No, I'm missing something. Okay.
Yeah. I have recorded Bucky and Clint for a fandom friend, Vodka Auntie CB, also known as Kengofu CB. And then I did a great little fic from a Geno called When You Know the One You Love, which is Malik from the Shadowhunters fandom.
Oh, okay. Those are the Cassandra Clare books, question mark?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, yes. Sometimes I know things outside my own fandom. It's very impressive.
Oh, and you know, I also did a Stucky that had Edna Mode from The Incredibles in it.
Are you serious? That's amazing. I love
Which
it.
It was a great opportunity because I'd always wanted to do an Edna impersonation, so I had a lot of fun doing it. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm not saying that I'm a great, you know, expert on Edna Mode's voice, but it was a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh, what's the title of that one?
That is Dress for the Job You Want.
Of course it is with Edna. Yeah, it is.
It was great. She just totally runs them up one side and down the other. And it was such a fun fic to read. And it was hilarious to record.
Oh my God, I'm sure. I'm adding that to my list. That's amazing. So, speaking of people you had fun doing, I hear a rumor that you will not record Thor. Oh, is that correct?
No, that's not true. I have recorded Thor before, but my co-host, Kashmir, wants me to record longer, smuttier Thundershield fix that requires a lot of Thor. And so, you know, Thor, brief bursts of Thor, I feel pretty capable of doing.
Brief bursts of Thor needs to be a band name.
Yeah, that sounds like a song. Brief bursts of Thor. So, but to do long, you know, lots of dialogue and, you know, tender, going from tenderness to, you know. So yeah. I have done Thor's voice in a couple of really funny, short podfix and really enjoyed it. But I have to get him really good to do a longer, smutty one. Same thing with Loki. You know, somebody wanted me to do one with Loki in it. And, you know, I can do Hiddleston in little snippets. But to do a long thing where they're having a conversation, it's just I have to be better at it. I can't be torn apart in the middle of a long podfic because my Loki sucks balls.
You know
what? Loki sucks balls.
There's just a lot
I meant that in a complimentary way, not in a slagging him off kind of way. I just meant that in shipping him with Thor. Anyway, that went, again, off the rails.
It's okay. I mean, like, I was making jokes about juggling balls earlier, and I was just like, and not Steve Rotoni's. Hey-o! So this is the kind of space we're in. Yeah. So clearly, though, there are, like, you read pretty widely within Stucky. I know you're pretty voracious. So
yeah.
What kind of fix right now are what are you reading right now that you love?
I'm reading a few different things that I can't stop thinking about.
Those are the best
kind. One of them, yeah, right? Those are really the only kind. The first thing I'm going to wreck is Mandalorian and His Child series, which is fantastic, by Yatstar. It's not complete. It's 12 works so far, 33K rated G. It's just sweet, very, very well written, lovely father-son dynamic, but also a lot of interesting interactions with other characters and adventure. It's outstanding. Second, that I would suggest is Like It's the Only Thing I'll Ever Do by How Do You Sleep. Stucky, rated E, 22K, currently chapter 3 out of 4. It's very good. And the last is Good Boy, which is part of a big series by Give Me Some More Sugar, rated Mature 2E, currently 39K. Stucky, and the most incredibly fuck-hot Daddy Steve. That's all
Noted.
I'm going to say.
Noted.
I did.
Well, that's really, I mean, we could talk forever about fandom. I think we
about
all
about Daddy
could,
Steve.
And also specifically about Daddy Steve. Maybe we'll bring you back for a Daddy Steve special in our later
please.
On Kinksploration segments.
Ooh, please, sir. May I have another?
But in the meantime, is there anything else you'd like to say now about the kind of role of podficking within the greater fandom?
I don't know. It's difficult to say because a lot of people don't listen to podfics for a number of different reasons. They don't process information well auditorially. They don't enjoy that. They have hearing issues. If their English is not their first language, it's more difficult for them to listen instead of read it. I think that podfic is a really great way for people that don't write to contribute to fandom. And it does not have to be perfect. I think everyone knows that podfics, because there's such a range of people involved in it. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be something that you love and that you want to record and that you want people to have the opportunity to hear or experience in a different way. And I think that's fantastic.
And I think that's really a really beautiful reflection of fandom in general. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. There is no perfect.
No, there's no perfect. There never has been. There never will be. That is the nature of fandom, that we're making things the way that we want them to be, whether it's written or recorded or art or supporting creators, which is
commenting and kudosing and cheerleading is just as much creative and important in the process as the stuff we consider creating, quote unquote.
It's huge. And I think it's very undervalued.
That's, you're correct.
People want to say things like, oh, all I do is... No. That's not all you do. That's not all you do. There's so many ways to participate in fandom. And the fact is that, you know, maybe you can write, but you can't even hold a pencil straight to sketch something. Or maybe you're a fantastic artist, but you aren't interested in writing, or you love the way you sound when you record things, but you can't do anything else. Well, it's not anything else. You can do that, and you can contribute that way and share your joy in the fandom that way. We're all so different, and everything everyone does brings something so special that it's never going to be wrong, ever.
And that is a beautiful note to end on. So, Alex, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I think it's fantastic that you guys have a new podcast, and I cannot wait to listen.